Hi, this is Marco Pimentel. Welcome to the podcast, Someone Like You.
We really do have to reinvent how we're consuming. The current model of consumption, which is linear, extractive, wasteful, distant, and all based around things being brand new, is entirely unsustainable. And Olio is really carving out, we're kind of building the future of consumption, which we believe will be first and foremost, secondhand and local.
Globally, a third of our food is thrown away every year. That's over $1 trillion US dollars. Tessa Clark is today's guest and the co-founder and CEO of Olio, a food sharing app aiming to reduce household and food waste by connecting neighbors with spare food or household items to others nearby. Growing up on a dairy farm in the UK, Tessa developed a keen appreciation of the value of food early on and a strong distaste for any food being wasted. I speak with Tessa about how her smuggling of non-perishable foods at the bottom of her packing boxes sparked the idea for Olio, what the name Olio means and its clever representation of the circular economy, and the difference Olio is making by empowering people to become part of the solution. Now with over 6 million people using the app, 6 million, this certified B Corp is reinventing our consumer habits and demonstrating that building a carbon negative company is achievable. Tessa, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So you grew up with, you know, I would say humble roots on a dairy farm in North Yorkshire in the UK. And what was that like, and how did that shape your belief about food and food waste, like we're going to be speaking about today?
I'm laughing because I'm thinking it was cold, it was wet, and it was a lot of hard work. But no, it was a wonderful childhood. I certainly learned the value of hard work nice and early, because as soon as myself and my two younger brothers could walk and carry buckets, we were immediately enrolled into the family workforce and put to work on the farm. So really that upbringing gave me a keen appreciation of the value of food. I see it as something that is incredibly precious. And as a result of that upbringing, I have a pathological hatred of food waste, which has very much kind of, you know, I've come full circle round to that now with the founding of Olio.
And speaking of Olio, when did you and how did you come up with the idea to develop Olio? What was that, sort of speak light bulb moment or, you know, entrepreneur kind of dream and reasoning for starting it?
Yeah, so the light bulb moment happened about 8 years ago now. So after I kind of left the farm, because I knew I didn't want to be a farmer or a farmer's wife, I had no sort of idea what I wanted to do. So I kind of went to the bright lights and the big smoke and pursued what could be described as a fairly typical corporate career. But the light bulb moment for Olio took place 8 years ago when I was living in Switzerland for work and I was moving back to the UK. And on moving day, the removal men told me I had to throw away all of our uneaten food. Now, obviously, because of my upbringing, I was not prepared to do that. So much to their irritation, I stopped packing and instead bundled up my newborn baby and toddler at the time. And I set out into the streets, clutching this food, hoping to find someone to give it to. And to cut a long story short, I failed miserably, but I wasn't to be defeated. So I went back to my apartment. And when the removed men were not looking, I smuggled the non-perishable foods into the bottom of my packing boxes. And I can remember that moment so vividly in my kitchen, thinking, I am probably performing a criminal offence right now. But to me, it felt even more criminal to put perfectly good food in the bin when I knew there was someone within probably 100 metres of me who would love that food. The problem was they just didn't know about it. And at that point in time, in my corporate career, I'd spent well over a decade working in the digital space. I knew there was an app for everything. And I couldn't believe there wasn't a simple app that I could connect me to my local community so I could give away my spare food.
And were you moving to move another career path, or were you really in transition between kind of what's next? Like that, the connection between an idea, lots of people have ideas, but you need often be in a position to be able to start that idea or enough passion to do it. So what was that connection between that?
Yeah, that you're absolutely right. So I was in the right frame of mind. I had, for probably about 5 years prior, I'd had this growing entrepreneurial itch. Now, the mistake I retrospectively realized that I made was that I spent a lot of time looking for an idea, whereas what I really should have done was look for a problem to solve. And my experience through not wanting to throw away my food then took me down a bit of a rabbit hole looking into the problem of food waste more broadly. And it was when I discovered just how an enormous a problem it is that was then got me really excited and galvanized, and almost like I couldn't not go out and solve this problem once I had encountered it.
So you have this kind of moment where you realize that there's probably needs to be an app for this, in a way that can connect what you would have expected somebody to be 100 meters from you to be able to take this perfectly good food. So how did you begin? Did you, you know, seek out a web development company? Did you say, you know what, I'm going to dedicate some time to figure this out? How did you kind of go from idea to what would be kind of version one of Olio?
Well, what we didn't do was jump straight into building an app. So we went through a very fast but very structured process. So the first thing we did was to research the problem of food waste to find out if it was a problem beyond my personal experience. And I can bore you to death with the stats if you would like, but the TLDR was, yes, it's an enormous problem. The next thing we did was to do some market research using, you know, typical surveying tool, distributed that research via Facebook and all sorts of groups to try and get as many people as possible to answer that survey. And the objective of that was to find out if food waste was a problem that people even cared about. And the answer coming out of that was a resounding yes. So 1 in 3 people told us that they were physically pained throwing away perfectly good food. And we used deliberately extreme language like that because we wanted to filter out the false positives of people saying, yeah, you know, food waste is bad. So we're like, wow, okay, it's a big problem, sort of on paper. It's a problem that people care about very deeply. And there's been no innovation since the rubbish bin. But that didn't mean to say that people would take the next step in our hypothesis, which was that they would share food with a stranger. And Sasha and I wanted to find a way to test that hypothesis without sinking our life savings building an app that in all probability, no one would want. So what we landed on was doing a proof of concept using WhatsApp. So we reached out to 12 people who'd done our market research survey, who all lived close to one another, didn't know each other, didn't know us. We organized this via email. We asked them if they would take place in this slightly crazy experiment for 2 weeks, whereby they'd be popped in a WhatsApp group. And if they had any spare food during that period of time, they could post it into that group. And one of the other participants might be interested in picking it up. So we waited, I remember very clearly, with bated breath for the most agonizing sort of 24, 48 hours to see if anyone would post anything into that WhatsApp group. And luckily and surely enough, they did. And then for the next 2 weeks, actually, it was quite a bit of sharing that took place via that WhatsApp group. At the end of the pilot, we then met face to face and debriefed with all of the participants one on one. And they told us a couple of things. They said, one, you absolutely have to build this. Two, it only needs to be slightly better than a WhatsApp group, which is some of the most profoundly helpful advice we've had on this journey. And three, they said, how can I help? And that was very much the genesis of what is today our ambassador program, which has over 25,000 people actively in it, sort of promoting and supporting and spreading the word about Olio.
Well, and we'll get into a bit more of the product side of it, but I would just take a step back to just understand a bit of that research and what you found on the food waste industry. And, you know, like you said, it's a profound, you know, amount of waste. I think it's there's some stat there that references it to the size of a country in terms of how much waste and how much carbon is emitted from just how much is wasted. So I'd love to just understand, what did you find and what really ends up being kind of at the core of the issue?
Yeah, let me shock and horrify you all. So globally, a third of all the food we produce each year gets thrown away. That's a conservative estimate, by the way. And that is worth over $1 trillion US dollars per year. Alongside that, we have 800 million people who go to bed hungry, who could be fed on just one quarter of the food that we waste in the Western world. And as if all that wasn't bad enough, the environmental impact of food waste is absolutely devastating. If it were to be a country, it would be the third largest source of greenhouse gas emissions after the USA and China. And that's because a landmass larger than China is used every year to grow food that is never eaten. So that is land that has been deforested, soil that's been degraded, species driven to extinction, indigenous populations displaced, all then the energy and packaging and manufacturing and refrigeration and distribution that goes into creating all of that food. And then when a third of it gets thrown away, the vast majority of it ends up in landfill, where food waste gives off methane, which is over 25 times more deadly than CO2. And the sort of cumulative impact of that has resulted in food waste having been recently identified by something called Project Drawdown, which is a collaborative piece of work by several hundred of the world's leading climate change scientists. They said, let's stack rank the top 100 solutions to the climate crisis. And in position number one came reducing food waste. And that came above electric vehicles, above solar power, and above a plant-based diet. And what most people don't realize when they think of the food waste problem, it's very intuitive to assume that this is a problem that is taking place perhaps at a retail store level. But what most people don't realize is that in countries such as the UK, roughly half of all food waste is taking place in the home. And so that means that we, each and every one of us, we are half of this problem that I've just outlined, which on the one hand is incredibly depressing. But if you flip it on its head, then actually it's incredibly exciting, because it means that if we just empower people to help solve this problem, we can be half the solution.
Yeah, it's an immense problem. And the fact is that our population expects to further grow. And I think that's the challenge as well, is there's going to be more of us with more food that we need to have to feed everybody and these changes. And it's interesting to see and hear that, you know, a lot of it and a lot of the guests that we have, and a lot of people always ask, like, what can they do? Really, food waste is, there's a lot of things that an individual can do to have an impact. So you obviously identified a massive problem area. You are in a position. You had mentioned a name, Sasha. So you had also co-founded this. So was that something that you and Sasha were working together on ideas and, you know, emailing each other once in a while, say, hey, I got an idea here, I have an idea here? Or was it how did that connection come to be?
So Sasha and I met when we were studying for our MBAs at Stanford Business School 2 decades ago now, which I don't really like admitting to, but it is what it is. And we were very firm friends. We had been working together actively for about a month or two on various ideas, because we had both decided that we wanted to go out and sort of solve a real problem. And some of the ideas that we were pursuing, we decided to pause on, and we were feeling incredibly despondent one evening when we'd realized that something that we got quite excited by, actually, we just felt we were too early to market with. And so I told Sasha about this crazy idea that I've got of a neighbor-to-neighbor food sharing app, and she immediately got it. We spent about an hour doing kind of a mini MBA on it. And by the end of that hour, we were both absolutely committed to making this happen. And yeah, could not have, you know, Olio really is kind of our collective joint effort and enterprise. Our sort of our relationship as co-founders, I'd say, really is one of the core strengths of the business.
So idea, connection, you and Sasha, you know, you say this is something that we want to build. How did you come up with the name Olio?
So Olio means a miscellaneous collection of things, which if you look on the app, that is absolutely what you will see. It also is the name for a traditional stew, sort of a traditional Mediterranean stew. And stew is obviously a dish that you would use to prevent food waste. And, but most importantly, before we sort of came onto the naming, we did have a choice. We thought, do we want to have a name that does what it says on the tin? So, for example, call ourselves the Food Exchange Network, or do we want to give ourselves a name that doesn't have any particular meaning and that we can create a real brand behind? And I can remember very clearly we went to Facebook, Google, Apple, Twitter, the Food Exchange Network, and then we ran through it again with Olio at the end. We're like, clearly we need to call ourselves Olio. But also we felt that from a kind of a future-proofing perspective, it was just a far wiser thing to do. And we love the name Olio. It's an incredibly powerful one, in particular because it's got the two O's on either side of it, which are really very symbolic of the circular economy, the sharing economy, the planet, community. And also, we just like the sound of the word. And we were very clear from day one that to make Olio truly mainstream, it actually had to sound and be slightly aspirational. And we felt that kind of the Olio name just hit all of those objectives.
Well, speaking of mainstream, the app has had over, you know, 6 million, correct me if I'm wrong, users join your app. So you've absolutely been able to make this mainstream where, you know, apps are difficult things to get people to install and then, of course, to use. And you've been able to do that not on a small level, on a, obviously a very growth and scale level. So how did you initially get this all funded? Did you do this, you and Sasha together and you know, work within, you know, with the small team that you built? Or how did you get started after, you know, idea and market kind of was identified and obviously a great name chosen?
So the first thing we did was get the app built. And in order to finance that, we did a deal with a development agency whereby they gave us half price day rates in exchange for a small equity stake in the company when we did our first proper raise. And that enabled us to just be able to sort of finance the building of the app, but also just as importantly, it meant that the developers had real skin in the game. We then raised a seed round of financing, and the first thing we did was to hire two developers so that we could bring the development, the ongoing development of the app in-house. But in the early days, we knew we had to raise financing because with very limited resources, and we knew this was a model that would only ever kind of work at scale, we knew that we needed to be focused on building a really delightful user experience and building a product that worked exceptionally well rather than kind of, you know, monetizing and bootstrapping in that way. And so from the earliest days, we were really focused on how do we kind of solve that cold start problem for our marketplace? How do we get the flywheel going? And there were a couple of things we did that are really interesting to solve that cold start problem. First of all, on the supply side, we developed something that is today called our Food Waste Heroes program. And we now have over 80,000 volunteers. So these are members of our community who we train on our food safety management system. And then once they're trained, they can claim a collection slot. And a collection slot is an opportunity to pick up unsold food from a local business, which could be a supermarket, a restaurant, a corporate canteen, a school canteen, a hospital canteen. And those volunteers will pick up that unsold food. They will then take it home, add it to the Olio app. Within minutes, their neighbors are requesting it. And minutes later, they're popping around and picking it up. Taking that food from having been considered a waste stream at the business location to, on average, within 1 to 2 hours, being fully redistributed into multiple homes in the local community. And that, by the way, is how we monetize Olio. We charge for that service because at the moment, businesses are paying a waste contractor to take that food away. And instead, they're now paying us to make sure that the food is taken away and eaten. So what the Food Waste Heroes program does is it provides an injection of super high quality supply, food, basically, into the marketplace, which then triggers the notifications, which brings people into the app. They will then pick up some free food that an hour ago had a price tag on it. They will have that experience of meeting, connecting with a neighbor on the doorstep, and they realize that it's really fun and easy and satisfying. And then they go on to add their own spare items themselves thereafter. So the Food Waste Heroes program has been really critical to our growth. And then the second thing that's played a really important role of kind of solving that cold start problem is our ambassador program. So as I say, we now have 25,000 sort of active ambassadors and they essentially are helping to spread the word about Olio in their local community. So they're put on a digital pathway. We give them lots of materials to share online, but they can also order marketing materials, physical marketing materials, posters, letters and flyers that they use to do hyperlocal guerrilla marketing in their local community on our behalf. And so that's how we've got that sort of supply and demand matched up and working really well. And today, sort of a typical food listing that comes onto the app will get requested in less than 25 minutes. And a typical household item, so these could be books, clothes, toys, toiletries, cosmetics, things you don't want to sell, you don't want to ship halfway across the country, you just want decluttered and gone. And a typical household listing is requested in less than 2 hours.
Every week on Someone Like You, we dive into stimulating conversations with founders, entrepreneurs, business owners, and the likes who are consciously and successfully creating sustainable business solutions for the long haul. Tune in every week for a new inspiring conversation on leading climate solutions. And if you're enjoying the podcast, don't forget, please subscribe on the platform of your choice and give us a rating and a review. So when it comes to the ambassadors, did that work for them because they were looking for ways to help the community? They were looking for programs to institute some food waste solutions. Like, why are these 25,000 people signing up to be ambassadors?
So the ambassadors are signing up because for two reasons, really. One, very selfishly, they want to be able to use Olio themselves. And they recognize that unless their local community is on the app, they can't do that. And then secondly, they really buy into our mission, our vision of the world. They hate waste. They want to play their part in solving the climate crisis, and they want to help their local community as well. So that's the motives for the ambassadors who are spreading the word. The food waste heroes, so they're the volunteers who are picking up the unsold food. They do that for several reasons. First of all, when you get to pick up, you go to that store location, you get to pick up all that unsold food, and you get quite this kind of visceral response because you realize that if it wasn't for you, all that beautiful food would end up in the bin. So immediately you feel pretty amazing about yourself. You then take that food home and you're like Santa Claus in your local community giving away all this free food. You get to build really deep and meaningful local connections. You do it from the convenience of your own home. You do it out of work hours. And if you would like, you can keep up to 10% of what you collect as a thank you, which for some people, for example, kind of the students or mums who are on a budget, that 10% is a really important part of the volunteering experience. For others, they don't even benefit from that at all. There's only so many, you know, sort of sandwiches and yogurt pots, for example, that one person can eat. And for them, it's just all about helping to prevent food waste and contribute to their local community. And we have, for the sort of volunteering, so the food waste heroes are redistributing food, we have way more people who are signed up and trained than we have actual volunteering opportunities. So kind of winning a collection slot, as it's called, is like seen as winning sort of a golden ticket, and people fight over the opportunity to be able to collect and redistribute unsold food in their local community.
Wow, amazing. And obviously being, you know, a volunteer, and they're doing it for, like, as you said, those reasons. How do the businesses come on to your platform? Is that Olio's job, or is it tend to be also, you know, through this obviously amazing group of ambassadors and volunteers, do you end up getting a ton of referrals, or is that kind of your team's job to build up the funnel of supply?
So at the moment, we're mainly focused on enterprises. And so that is, those deals are being done by the central Olio team. But again, the ambassadors and the food waste heroes on the ground play a really helpful role there because they spread the word about Olio in their local stores. They ask their local stores what they're doing about food waste. And so we sort of refer to it as the pincer movement, which is kind of, you know, the communities coming up from a store-based level, kind of asking for a solution. And then we're talking to the head offices about the solution that we have.
And for the businesses, as you mentioned before, most of the businesses before they would have signed up with Olio to provide this food, their system would simply be a waste company would pick it up and take it away, and obviously you hope it gets to compost, but like you said, most of it will go into the landfill. Was that what most of these companies were doing before?
So it depends. Many businesses are already working with the charitable sector, and the charitable sector is taking what food it wants and needs from those businesses. But the reality is that the charitable sector can only absorb a tiny fraction of the food that is generated by retail and by businesses. And that is because charities can't take fresh food, chilled food, frozen food, hot food. They can't take food after its best before date. They generally can't deal with what we refer to as kind of micro quantities of surplus food. So two of this, three of that, one of that. They're much more kind of wanting to feed people at scale. So businesses, many businesses are already working with charities, but the charities are absorbing just a tiny fraction of their surplus food. And so in the UK, the vast majority of unsold food is going to anaerobic digestion. And so Olio is and to livestock feed, and a very small amount to landfill. And Olio is essentially kind of diverting it away from those waste streams and making sure that human beings get to eat the food and benefit from it, which is more important than ever, given that we've got a cost of living crisis here in the UK right now, and a lot of people who are struggling with food poverty.
And on the consumer side of the app, you have a supply that comes in from businesses, but you obviously still also are addressing the food waste directly in individuals' homes. When you start to get into a community, you know, and you had mentioned originally, you know, your own scenario when you, before you started Olio was, you know, you thought somebody was 100 meters. How, you know, how much activity do you have? Do you have any information? Like, is most of it done within a close, you know, kilometer or meter, you know, 100 meters away? Like, how is the activity? Is it very community based when people start to use the app locally?
In a word, yes, it is. So well over 60% of the sharing takes place within a 10-minute walk. And what we find is that when we first go into a community, the early adopters who are super passionate about Olio and everything we're doing, they're often prepared to travel quite long distances. Now, the beauty of that is it means that the person who's adding a listing to the app definitely gets their listing requested and picked up, which is a wonderful experience, which keeps them continuing to add their surplus to the platform. But then as more and more people join the app and the density increases, we see that the need to travel decreases and decreases and decreases and decreases. So it kind of, it works very well in that sense.
As you've continued to, you know, build it, and as you said, the flywheel started to work, and more and more and more people joined, you know, as you said, you know, millions of people have joined. How did you then continue to fund the process? Did you continue to go, was it through, you know, government grants, or was it through venture route? How did you continue to fund the business?
So we have raised 5 rounds of financing so far, some external rounds, some internal rounds. And our investors are a combination of what I refer to as classic sort of Silicon Valley VCs, and also we have a number of impact investors on the cap table as well. So these are investors who are investing not only for the eventual financial return, but equally as important for them is the environmental and social return that we are generating every single day.
So continuing to grow with funding, what's next for Olio? What's in the plan in the next kind of, if you think about, obviously you're creating incredible impact with your platform. If you think, you know, the next 3 to 5 years, where is Olio headed?
So we have set ourselves an enormous ambition. We want 1 billion people to be consuming Bio-Olio by 2030. And the reason for that is really, really simple. Humanity is not going to stand any chance whatsoever of living in a 1.5 degree warmed world unless we achieve that, because we really do have to reinvent how we're consuming. The current model of consumption, which is linear, extractive, wasteful, distant, and all based around things being brand new, is entirely unsustainable. And Olio is really carving out We're kind of building the future of consumption, which we believe will be first and foremost secondhand and local. And so that's the space that we're kind of really owning. And that's where we're heading to. So yes, we've made great progress. We've got almost 7 million people on Olio, but clearly we still have a very long way to go. Right now, we're primarily focused on the UK and Ireland. We've also got very active communities in Singapore and also in Latin America. So Mexico, Chile, Argentina, Colombia. And we've had items successfully shared in over 60 markets so far. And again, that's thanks to that ambassador model where people who are passionate about the Olio mission are just getting it kickstarted in their local community. So yeah, we've made great progress, but we have a long way to go still.
Yeah, and I'm assuming if you're trying to get to 1 billion people, it's going to be going into new markets. Do you find that when you do enter into new markets, it's another flywheel effect? Or do you find that because of the strength that Olio has built so far and the members and the way to educate people and this, you know, ambassador volunteer programs, that you are able to enter into markets, you know, obviously quicker, much quicker than you were before?
Yeah, so on the sort of pure C2C side of things, you know, we see this the whole time. People are using Olio in the UK, they then relocate and they want to keep using Olio where they end up. So from a product perspective, we've always been really quite pleasantly surprised actually about how common humanity is, like how much we have in common. And from a product perspective, the current app works no matter where you are in the world. It's only available at the moment in the English language and the Spanish language. Where it gets slightly more nuanced for the international expansion is around the B2C2C side of things that we're doing. So that's the Food Waste Heroes program, where we're collecting and redistributing unsold food from local businesses. So that does require us to get to know and understand the local commercial landscape better.
You've recently become a certified B Corp, and you know there's you have a mission to and a commitment to being carbon negative. Olio, it's itself, obviously, what you're doing on the grand scheme of things is obviously incredible to what we need to do. But you've also made a commitment to do that for yourself. What are those type of commitments that you're working on as Olio? Because you know, it's obviously an app, but you have it's there's a lot of people, I'm sure, the inner workings of it. So what are those pieces that you're working on there?
So Olio is really, really unique. I don't think there are many companies in the world that can say this, but we are already carbon negative. So the emissions that we create through our operations as a business offset just 5% of the carbon emissions that we are avoiding through our operations. So we're kind of a 95% positive company, which is fantastic. The reason why our own emissions are so low is because we are a fully digital remote business. So we do not have an office. We do not have any manufacturing. We don't have any supply chain. So we literally are sort of human beings working from home and some servers and some services that we subscribe to. We're actually going through a rebranding process kind of as we speak. And one of the areas that we have identified that we could reduce our emissions further was on our website. So we're working with an agency called Whole Grain, who really specialize in building low carbon websites. So that's an example of a sort of tangible action that we're taking to reduce our emissions further.
Yeah, amazing. I'm a big, you know, as we kind of get to the end of our time, I always ask this question at the end of the episode is I'm a big fan of the book, The Lorax. It's a book that I read often to my kids, and Dr. Seuss kind of wrote this book about overusing our resources. And at the end of it, a child catches a seed, and the idea is that child simply can make a change. And I think a lot of people, especially people that might not be, you know, working in climate or might not be, you know, starting a climate business, they hear a lot of the negative and you know, what they do doesn't really matter. But that's obviously not the case. So what would you say to somebody that is either, you know, thinking about getting into getting into being, you know, into a business that's sustainably focused, or starting a business, or investing, you know, what are those first things that you would say that they should do, that first step?
Well, the first step is to take the first step. I absolutely get involved. Sort of the climate crisis is a crisis. It's the biggest challenge facing humanity today, bar none. And quite literally, the future of civilization is at stake. If you're an investor, I profoundly believe that there'll be no greater returns delivered than through saving humanity. And we have to completely reinvent our global economy to be sustainable. And that paradigm shift will be far more profound than the digital revolution was. So I often say that the sustainability revolution will make the digital revolution look like a walk in the park. So I think for investors, there's great opportunities for returns. For founders, there are incredible opportunities to build something that's going to have true impact and make a real difference. And for people who want to be employees, you can now be part of the solution rather than part of the problem. The most important thing, though, is just to get started. And I think a lot of people overthink the getting started. All it requires is for you to just take a tiny baby step tomorrow, which could be to reach out to someone, to speak to someone, to register a company, do whatever. And you just got to keep on taking tiny baby steps day after day after day after day. And then when you look back, you know, as I am now, 7 or 8 years later, you'll be amazed at the cumulative impact of all those tens of thousands of baby steps.
Beautifully said. And I think obviously a testament to what you have built, and what yourself and Sasha, and like you said, it was simply, what do I do with this food in my fridge? That small idea to now over 7 million people. I can't believe over, you know, 80,000 volunteers and 25,000 ambassadors. Like, the numbers are astounding. People want this, and people want to take action. And I think Olio is a great example that there is a market there. So how can people find you and Olio, and where can they learn more?
So Olio is spelled O-L-I-O. And if you search for us in a search engine, we will come up in the App Store or in Google Play. On social media, we're at olio.app on Instagram. And if you just search for Olio, share more, waste less, we will come up on LinkedIn as well.
Tessa, thank you so much. Congratulations, obviously, on to all of your success and your team's success. And we will be cheering you on. And please check out Olio. Thanks again, Tessa.
Thank you.
This podcast is co-produced with The Brand is Female. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Someone Like You. And if you did, please share this. We're a new podcast, and I would love it if you could share it with a family member, friend, colleague, work colleague, share it on Slack, whoever you do, just share and spread the message of these incredible brands. Please also support these type of companies. They're doing the hard thing, and the hard thing often takes a lot of people to get on board. And don't forget, please subscribe on the platform of your choice and give us a rating and review. I'm Marco Pimentel. Thank you for joining us today. For more information on Someone Like You, you can find us on Instagram at Someone Like You Podcast, with all the links to the podcast, our website, and more information about the brands that we feature. Thank you again.